This background, I want to finish up these particular pieces first. How many of you finished the Gina and the Beishar, these Makoros? Everybody finished? I can give you more? Suffolk, I would say. Not completely. Okay. Tomorrow, I think we should do, just schedule-wise, tomorrow we'll do something on Yom Kippur. I don't know anything about it. I remember they did it other years. So should we have regular shiur tomorrow and then do a Yom Kippur thing on Tuesday? Right, I'm saying, does it make a difference one way or another? Which day? What's preferable? Okay, so let's do Yom Kippur tomorrow on the shorter day. And Tuesday we'll assume regular shiur for now. Okay, they as far as I know, they never contacted me. So, okay. So again, we've been discussing the little bit of a complicated topic, different motifs in Hezekiah, and especially the ones that we've already identified, Tznius, Tzimtzum, Tashmish, and Besada. And Ayin Ra, and the idea that there's also the question of the interrelationship between the Iser Lahistakel, the Iser to create a circumstance in which is Hezek Re'iyah, as opposed to the obligation to neutralize Hezek Re'iyah, in other words, to neutralize the situation that arises. These are all Hilukim that we have encountered. And then added to that, we were discussing the problem of whether you have some sort of a partial tznius issue or partial hishtamshus issue, whether that also doesn't impose an obligation to neutralize, or is it like the glass is half full or half empty. In other words, you have the opportunity to use your field even for Dvarim Tznuim. Is that enough, even if it's not your full, Sadeh, or Chatzer, or Bias, or whatever it is? Or, no, you have the right, let's say, to be fully protected. And that's a very important debate as well. And then we've also discussed the argument of touch on the argument, we'll expand a little more today, but again, there's still more to do to get a handle on all the Rishonim on it, and that is the question of Chazaka and Mechila, whether we compare this to Mamon or to Iser, whether, you are the Bailim, whether Klal Yisrael is the Bailim, is this like, Kabbalah, etc. So these are all issues that we have touched upon. And the idea that, breaking it down to different levels, we haven't even then the venues, the bias, the Beis Shar, the Chatzer, Gagin, etc. Okay, so just to highlight what we were just in the middle of, the Ravon in particular ends up being very upfront on a lot of these issues. But the Ravon, kind of reflects how difficult it is to pin them down in a more definitive way, because he seems to emphasize different things in different places. I don't have a very good answer for that, unless there is really overlap, which is what I suspect. On the one hand, right, the Ravon is maybe the most explicit about Giridideh and Ayin Bisha, even to the point of triggering some criticism certainly in the Achronim, for applying, it's so upfront, Giridideh, Mikla Kali, being very graphic about it, and so on. So he certainly has that aspect. On the other hand, the Ravon's position, which is that if you have the ability, to use your property, in a way that, allows for full privacy, even if that doesn't extend to the entirety of the property, that actually, you know, works better, I think. Again, these are not mukrach, but I would have thought that that implies, you know, the right of tznius, right? You have the right of privacy, you know, in your property. But once you have the ability to do private things, you know, that would seemingly solve the problem. It shouldn't be necessarily the ability or the capacity to do private things in all places. It's just, especially if it isn't a din in the makom, like, you know, you're invading my property by, maybe that is the idea, but, you know, you're invading my property by, you know, limiting me, you know, anywhere on it. So it's like an invasion of prophecy, a property, sorry, you know, kind of thing. If it's more, he has the right as begavra to his privacy, so as long as he has that, one would think that that should be sufficient. Whereas if it's a question of kind of curtailing his his bilus and his property in terms of tashmishin, you know, that would seem to be, you know, the Mordechai would seem to be right about that, and that is that you know, he has that right across the board. Why, you know, you shouldn't be able to tell him, well, you know, you can do this in your property here and do that, you know, but you can't do that. You know, it's his property, it's his bilus. And by doing that, you are, you know, kind of, you know, challenging that implicitly. Again, well, that means you're degrading the value of the property, or simply, you know, interfering with his, you know, free usage. One would think that you don't solve the problem, you know, being able to do, you know, it in other places. That's not his call. That's your call. Your, you know, capacity, you know, to behave, you know, in a dignified manner, in a private manner, in your property, you know, maybe that doesn't have to extend to the totality of it. So that interesting debate is one which I would have thought, all things being equal, the Rabban doesn't explain why he thinks what he thinks. He thinks it's based on paradigm, you know, case of, you know, the Gemara about, you know, if I know when you're coming, you know, with Gagin and so on. We already discussed how that might be a very different case. But alone, if that had been the position, if that had been the debate, I would have thought that that was the issue. Problem is that the Ravon himself, in the other piece, in Tav Kuf Nun Vav, where he talks about, we didn't get that, I think we're about to finish on, if you don't mind, if you can read it for us, Yitzhak. The one on, when he talks about the difference between Chalon Tzuri, and, you know, in Chalon Mitzri, I believe. There he seems, again, to be working with these categories, but very, very clear that the curtailing of the Tashmishin is the Mechayin. So, yeah, if you don't mind, where was it? Tav Kuf Nun Vav, the Shal HaRav, Chalon HaMitzri in the Chazaka, yeah. Maisa Ira?
Should I start from that? From the
Maisa? Yeah, just very quickly, and then
we'll see.
Okay, so what happened?
So
they were neighbors.
And now we opened up a chalon into the rishus of his neighbors.
Yeah, and Yamin Vishani, you know, for a long time.
So we have to let Shimon lag be a base of a list of chalon and shal Ruvain.
So it's not a light problem, because that carries its own dynamic. So the problem isn't, you know that you're, you know, literally, you know, benighting him. The problem is, you know, you're taking away, you know, this implicit, you know, exercise of a zchus that he's had to keep an open window into your property, and, you know, right. So the Shal Rabban.
The Shal Rabban, I didn't lefnei Rabban Yitzarfas, lefnei Rabban Yerachim. So, v'zal Hashem Rabban. So him nidon ka'alach lefnei Rabosai, v'in nivin farish lefi daiti, v'im shagisi him yiruni.
Okay, very nice, right?
Then,
yeah, and then he goes on to discuss, go ahead.
So tana chalon ha-mitzri im lefazako, l'tzur yish lefazako. So firish rubi na poseach chalon ha-mitzri lefatzer shol shimun, v'in oposko la-ora, ki yish lo la-ora mitzara aher, ala shiposko l'takrish aver v'lishko filirosko. So as in Luchazaka Kiyapuseach La Aver in Post for Elvisha should Sarah Polyos, Achriosa Sarno. So Hachi Himul Chazaka. The Matzi Amar Shimon, Mashalom Achisi, the Yakafti Milposko, from Nashil Ohio, the Hazak Re'il. Shevishoshu saw some Animishamish Pokochaser. Obeys Sifaso, Animishamish, but said Yahalom, the Chatzimikan, Mikan. In Hoyaholiros, Alabachas, Shekinagan Achalon. Beini Chosim, Tashmash Hatzeri Klom, Filishah.
Oh. So this is actually an interesting formulation. How so?
Because he seems to be saying that the fact that he's allowed to, that he has makom to be mitzaneya, so that translates into no lack of hishtamshus b'chatzer.
Yeah. Even though, now again, this is a little bit different than the other case. Right? The other case is, let's say he has, you know, two-thirds of his field, you know, is, well, it doesn't mind making up, half of his field, you know, is challenged by, you know, the Hezek Ria, you know, but half is not. Here, it's, you know, not a percentage of the field, but it's the timing of it, correct?
Right.
So, but, again, it's interesting that he doesn't emphasize Sniusa, right? He emphasizes, you know, the... He relates to it from the perspective of you know, limiting his value and his property, right? And he even calls it zenene b'zein uchaser. Go ahead.
Zenene b'zein uchaser. The infoseach Reuben Chaim Suri shiyach lahotzi barosh lechatzer shel Shimon so v'lo akvo v'lo micha darizu chazaka shaharim bonu mitash mishchatzer legamri b'shoshu pasua.
Yeah, he doesn't say he's invading his privacy. You know, he's throwing darts, you know, with his eyes. And he doesn't say, oh, he's taking away his right, you know, of privacy. Again, it's hard to know. But what he is emphasizing is that the Mechayev in the case of Hezek, real Hezek Ria, now, of course, the irony here is, this is something we'd still have to get back to, that there's a, you know, interesting correlation between Hezek Ria, you know, and the Chazaka, right? Because on the one hand, you only establish a chazaka, right, when, you know, you provoke someone, you know, in a way where, you know, the expectation is that there would be a macha. So then his silence, you know, is constitutes maybe, you know, the basis of a chazaka. On the other hand, of course, you know, those are the most egregious cases, and therefore the absence of macha is significant, but they're also the most egregious cases, so you might think that they go over the line, you know, and therefore there's no Hezek Ria. That there's no chazaka, sorry. There's a chazaka and a dvar iser. So that's a very fine line in general. You know, the very factor, you know, that is necessary to trigger, you know, chazaka is the factor, you know, which also may determine that there's no chazaka. So we still have to get back to that point. But either way, what's interesting about this formulation is that it's not, you know, per se the violation of tzniusa, right? It's the restriction in the use of the property, and this is the Ravon. So are we to take, you know, from here that there are these overlapping different, you know, parts of Hezek Ria? There's the Einabisha, you know, which is Giri Didei. And there's also, you know, the Tzniusa, which is Koveya, you know, how much of your field, you know, needs, you know, to be open to any kind of or unrestricted use. And then there's a third thing, and that is literally, you know, denying him free rein in his own property, and therefore either undercutting the value of the property or causing him a loss, you know, because of the limitations, you know, of his usage. In the end of the day, these are all different aspects and they overlap, and they all come under the rubric in some way of Hezek Ria, Shema Hezek, or Lo Shema Hezek. Because again, if the alternative would have been to say, it doesn't have only one meaning, it has, in other words, these overlapping meanings. The common denominator being, you know, it's just, you know, Ri'ya B'Alma, it's Habata, it's, you know, it's not a Davar She'eshbo, you know, Mamish. Right? Once you say no, you know, Yeshbo Mamish, it, you know, might be invisible, but, and again, it goes to the question some of you have asked, we have to get back to, you know, of Grama and of, you know, Hezek Sheino Nikar in particular, which we'll get to when we talk about Mechitas Kerem, the debate among the Rishonim, right, is this considered Hezek Nikar or not? Depends, you know, all these things depend on which of these three, I guess, roughly, you know, aspects of overlooking, we'll call it, you know, we're focusing on. But for the Rabban, if you were just to take, all I'm pointing out is that if you were to take each of these three pieces independently, you would have come to very different conclusions. Now again, I guess for the overlapping idea, the commandment, you also have the Ramban. I mean, the Ramban, you know, again, it's just hard to read the Ramban on the test. You know, the Inami, Inami, Inami. Definitely identifies Enabisha. Definitely identifies, you know, Tzniusa. Definitely identifies, you know, the Iser of Histaklos Mitzad, you know, the Roeh, the Mazik, not the Nizak, you know, the Nireh. He definitely calls it, you know, more than Kutra, you know, and Beis HaKiseh, in terms of being Nizke Guf, Beguf. Meaning, is the Ramban there? It's just hard to know. You know, is he saying, these are all different approaches, you know, to Hezekriah? You know, Yeshu Farshim, Yeshu Farshim, Yeshu Farshim, Yeshu Farshim? Or is he saying, you know, Hezekriah has a large, you know, it's a broader category with different, you know, manifestations. There's this part, that part, the next part, and the next part. What they all have in common, at minimum, is the, you know, concreteness, mean that we do treat this, you know, as if it's concrete, as opposed to, you know, something, you know, amorphous and therefore, you know, beyond the reach of Choshen Mishpat, or maybe even, you know, of Iser. Of course, once you do that, you know, there are these overlap things. Moreover, it isn't just that common denominator, you know, that there's something called Chepsa Shel Nezek, or Maisa Nezek, or Maisa Hezek, Al Yidei Re'iyah. Maybe, you know, these, you know, different components are even more kind of substantively, you know, linked, you know, in some respect. Certainly the Enabisha part and the Tzniusa part, you know, it's obvious. And even, frankly, you know, Tashmishim, you know, Besada, you know, maybe that. Tashmishim Besada can be related in one of two ways. Number one, again, if you want to, you know, of course, if I structurally, you know, create a situation where I can, you know, constantly, you know, gaze into your property, so it's very easy to understand how that limits, you know, your usage. But again, you still might have said, you know, that's a grama, right? So you got a maisa has a gumwort. Again, let's say it this way. If the idea is, you know, by doing this, you're devaluing my property because it's a property, you know, that no longer, you know, can be used in an unconstrained way. Unconstrained use properties are worth, you know, $100. And, you know, properties that can only be used for more limited functions are worth $50. You know, by creating a situation, you know, that limits you, I devalue your property. That's a way of formulating, you know, Hezekriah, which kind of escapes a little bit, you know, the Grama problem. Because, you know, if I say it in terms of you could make $100 or you could do work in your field worth $100, you know, if I weren't peering in, but since I am, so you can't do any, you know, secret government work or secret anti-government work, whatever it is. So, you know, your usage is limited, therefore the, you know, you can only make $50 from your field. But it has nothing to do with the, you know, karka itself. You know, that's more, obviously, of a grama. Right. However, what I'm trying to suggest is that, you know, just taking a step back, thinking, like, can that ever be perceived? Can something artificial, you know, namely my presence, and your reaction, can that ever, you know, integrate into the value of a property? Right? That's a question. And that gufa, it might, you know, depend on whether it has a kriyat shema kazakh. No. So what I'm saying is that there, that's one relationship. The other side of it is to say that, you know, it again, like the Mordechai here is hinting at, and like we discussed when we talked about, you know, the xos, and that is, you know, if there's no tangible, you know, chaser, so maybe it's just zenen of the chaser. To be considered chaser, you know, doesn't necessarily require doin dina de garmi, or thinking that grama is chay. If, you know, anything that isn't, you know, mean-spirited and totally gratuitous, you know, is, you know, is what's koveya for, you know, chaser, so that you can object to things, you know, then you don't need to reach that threshold that we were talking about in terms of, you know, the Gemara's later on, and to solve the, you know, the Ramban problem on Daf Nun Tes. So again, it's just very interesting that that's the language that is used here as well. Any chaser mitashmish chatzei riklum or dafilu sha'achas v'zeh nene v'zeh eino chaser. It's interesting, right? Okay. So then when you say, but, you know, you're restricting my use, but it's grama, it's not actionable in court, right? But it's not, it's not, you know, chaser. Yeah.
Yes, the Ramban on Daf Beis also seems to make a reference to Kinyan Tashmish.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he says that it's mechalik between Gagan and Chaser.
In terms of Tashmish.
Yeah, so I was wondering what you thought about that.
So we'll get back to that. But I think there are certain, you know, types of properties where also which are defined by their tashmishin, and others are not. That's what I think. But I'll get back to the...
And the way that it connects with Ramban.
On Daf Nun Tes? No. That's the only thing he doesn't mention.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll talk more about that. And Beis Shar also. It's, I think, an example of that. But, okay. So that's in terms of the Ravon, and as I say, each one individually, maybe the overlap, but I'm not 100% sure. Yeah.
Why wouldn't Rebbe give the same answer like you said from the Seamus's cash about Groma? Why can't we say that here also that Boshe commands it?
No, if you say if you say that the Chiyuv to protect his privacy, you know, the Tzniusa part is alone, or that's the primary, or that's the focus, then I think you would give that answer. I'm saying the restriction on Tashmishim to me is not a din in Hilchos Shechem. Yeah, exactly. That's more of a, that bothers me more because that seems to be just like, you know, Girei Didei Eina Bisha, you know, once you take the leap, as I say. You know, so then, oh, you're really damaging me. So too, you're my neighbor, and because of you I can't, because of the structural way that you're living next to me, you know, I can't use my property in an unrestricted fashion. You know, so that's all very choshemish, buddy, one would think. So that's why I'm saying, okay, but does that really qualify al pidin and choshemish? But if the idea is you have rights of privacy, right, and I have to protect that, and, you know, not only does that mean I'm not allowed to spy on you, you know, the Eastern, but there are still levels here. It also means I'm not allowed to kumbase, you know, create a situation where, you know, that is more likely to happen, or more to the point where you feel vulnerable. And I was even suggesting, you know, previously that psychologically, I would say I know I'm never going to do it, you know, but that doesn't matter. If the sense of privacy is a function psychologically of how the victim, you know, feels secure or doesn't feel secure. So if you take it from that point, for the same reason I thought I don't think it's all a nizak alamazik, the you don't need giri didei, I would say also grumma is irrelevant to that. Because that gets propped up by my obligation to ensure, you know, the sanctity of your rights of privacy. And, you know, that that's not a topic of grammar. Right. So that would be comparable to what I was saying about the Nesivus's question in Poshe Kamazik. But here I'm trying to explain it more in terms of this, limitation of Tashmishim, which, you know, again, appears in the Rishonim and even in the Rambans, you point out correctly. And from that point of view, I think that you have to say some of these things. Okay? Good. Regarding the other, excuse me, Mordechai, let's get that on the record too before we move on. We're in the middle of that one. So, firstly, when the Mordechai disagrees with the Ravan, and he says, you know, it should apply to all properties, the entire property. Yeah.
Just one point on the last Ravan.
Yeah.
Is it possible that the way you define that?
Me, what he's saying, the mechayev of hezekri is one thing, but what triggers the chazaka is something else. That's possible. How would that help here?
There, the Ravon is just saying that miyash stamshus. The guy's explaining why, like psychologically, he doesn't care because he could do private things. That doesn't mean that.
I mean, that just means that on whatever triggers the mecha. Even if al pidin, what's wrong with hezekri is something else. Interesting. That could be. Makes sense. Well, we'll get soon to... it is a very interesting issue. I was going to bring that up today also. I mean, you see this in individual Shonim. The Yad Ramah says this on that base as well. Like, the Hagdara of, let's say you need a Maisa for a Chazaka. Right? But whether or not, you know, it's the Binyan, we'll get back to that in a second because we're... Whether it's the Binyan or the Re'iyah that's considered the Maisa... Right, there are some individual Rishonim who seem to distinguish when they talk about the problem of Gira Didei. In other words, Alamazik Laharchik or Laharchik or Alanizak Laharchik. So they seem comfortable saying, oh no, as a Kriya, it's Gira Didei. And yet, when it comes to establishing a Chazaka, some of them think that that the Ri'iya is not a Maisa to establish Chazaka. Right? So that's a very interesting, you know, phenomenon. So how can you make that distinction? So it could very well be what you're saying, which is that, you know, maybe, you know, establishing a Chazaka has a very more practical aspect, and it's like, you know, how do people respond? And, you know, whether or not that's considered, whether Shtika is considered to be, you know, a lack of Mecha or even an implicit, you know, zechia, and that could be separate from the objective question, you know, whether this is considered to be a Maisa Hezek or not. It is a Maisa Hezek, you know, but people don't perceive it that way, and therefore they just don't, you know, respond. So that would be similar to what you're suggesting now, which is that maybe from a Hezek Ria point of view, the Chiyuv, that's one question, you know, but... the chazaka and how it's triggered isn't only a function of hezekriya. It's also the interpretation of silence, right? So that would be very similar. Okay, great. That's a good point. So just two things more on the Mordechai. I don't know why I'm losing my voice here. But, I like that. That's good. We have to get that other thing, right?
Yeah,
okay. So they ask against the against the Rabban. You have in the end the talk? Masha Pasak Rabban?
So Chada Matzar for Kol Efer Lahadik Hamaka. Ayachol is the way too, but b'makom acher shall you call the lyrics.
Ah.
So the so, gavin chalon was atzmon kamer lo malo shall yachet. So after she stemmers the sad acher shall look and I get a chalon. The so, the my time of yapsin halo shimo shar chatzir.
Yeah, that's the, that's you know, the main one, obviously. And they were like, why should he, you know, lose out? And again, the emphasis isn't, oh, that's a sneers thing. It sounds like a dini abominus thing. Like, why this hepsid and right. L'hochi mistaber.
Hi,
what about those gemaras, you know, about I can guard myself from you? The answer is that they would say, like we said before, what, Yitzhak? What about the gemara about Gagin and, you know, there's no, because I can protect, you can protect yourself from me, there's no, yeah,
so
those
any sort of nias ishtabshus is going to be enough of
them. Yeah, I mean, there's just no circumstance. It's not sneer. There's no problem of hezekria, as opposed to oh, there's hezekria, and the question is how much of a remedy do you require. So what's the answer? I thought that the question from Chalonos is an interesting question. How would the Ravan answer that question? Like the Gemara says, you have to be mad if you know when you build a maka, each one builds a maka, and each one has to go a little further, because otherwise you could see on the thing. He said, well, like, what's a big deal? Let him just, you know, do his, what do you think about that? That's a good question, I think. Sounds like a good question, but I think there's an important distinction to make there as well.
Could one be the chalik between Tashmish Bayis versus Chosin?
Well, that's number one. I think that's a great point, and we'll see that. Right, the Gemara itself discusses, and that's why I'm going to read the Shaka Vatari just to get it on the record in a minute, you know, some of the distinctions that the Gemara makes. Right, Gina, Chatzer, Bika, Bias, right? So that's one. That's one possibility. Now, I think there's another point as well, and that is there's a difference between, you know, there being a situation that you're now assessing whether there's a Hezekriya problem. And when there's a Hezekriya problem, you know, the nature of the remedy, you know, to neutralize that problem. Right? In the case of the Maka, basically you have a Hezekriya problem. So the halacha is that, you know, when you respond to, when you neutralize Hezekriya in that case, you know, that you have to, you should close all the holes. The chiyuv, you know, to neutralize hezekria, is a more comprehensive one. That's different than some of the other cases where we're trying to assess meirosh. Is there a chiyuv to be mesalek? Maybe because there's no problem al pidin of hezekria at all. After all, the problem is only, you know, on kol asada. So it could very well be, you know, that once there's an obligation to remedy, you know, then the remedy is a full remedy. You know. But, for example, what would be in a situation? Let's say you had something happened. You know, you had a maka here and a maka there. And, you know, let's say the madiv blew off. I don't know. Right? Would you be obligated, you know, to build it? After all, right now, it's not open hezekria, right? You can still, person can still exercise, you know, privacy or comprehensive use of his property, you know, b'miksas. Was there a chiyuv hezekria in that case? Right? Maybe not. Again, if the distinction is between venues, then it's the same thing. But if the point is, you know, once is a chiyuv, you know, then there is, you know, a certain standard, you know, which you're obligated to follow, that's a different story. I'll give another example that's discussed this in the Rush and in the other Rishonim, and that, of course, is, you know, when we talk about the quality of the remedy or the quality of the fence. Right, Kyle? What's the issue?
Rosh less than one person on his own.
Exactly. So let's say, is there a standard? Again, we have to go, we're going to start going just straight from the beginning so we can do this more. Now they have a bigger picture. I'm just going to start marching straight. But, yeah, exactly. But let's, you know, once you have, like, the whole din of the Mishnah, you know, which implies a certain quality of fence, let's say, you know, what kind of wall is, you know, this needs to be, of course, analyzed. So let's say two things. Let's say, you know, let's say they both agree, you know, but the quality, you know, is under, you know, is there anything, several questions. Are there any minhagim which are too substandard and not acceptable? That's one issue. We'll pin down each one. Right? A minig batos. Is it such a thing? Let's say, and if so, like, what do we mean by that? Right? There can be two types of issues. One is the quality of the actual remedy, you know, even, you know, even immediately. Right? And the other is how durable or enduring, you know, it is. Like, is this a long-term remedy, or are you going to have to worry, or are you going to come to me again, you know, in a month, or do I have to worry that it's going to fall down? And worrying that it's fall down can be a technical question and a monetary question once you're involved. It could also be a psychological question. You have a flimsy wall, you know, you may still be hesitant, may not, you know, create enough privacy. So the question of the quality of the solution, you know, in terms of minug, let's say there's a minug that's substandard. Well, let's say there's an agreement between the parties, you know, that's less than the minug. But then the other issue is exactly the one that you mentioned, and that is, let's say instead of the two of them, let's say one person is going to build, you know, by the wall himself. So say he's going to build it inside his property only, and he's going to neutralize the Hezek Re'iya, but in a way that is, you know, substandard. Right? Does that make a difference? Right? So that's a discussion in the Rush. Right? So, again, you know, what's really going on here? You know, from the perspective of the Mechayiv of Hezek Re'iya, mostly you would think, well, if the guy can't see, can't see. But maybe there's a, you know, din, you know, is there a long-term, like, required remedy? And is this all, you know, about, you know, proper neighborly, you know, structures? Right now there's no re'iyah. So what I'm asking is, A, does the psychological factor come into play? B, is there, you know, are there two dinim or two aspects of this din? One is the reason that you have it, and the other is the, you know, the status or standard of the remedy itself. In which case, you know, we may be, you know, insistent on more than neutralizing. So again, it could be that if it's a joint solution, it's a chiyuv shutfim or a chiyuv, you know, shkenim, then also there, you know, there are standards, you know, that are required in terms of, it could just be a pure dinimaminis question, like some of the, you have the line of the Rush there? Where are you? Right, these are some of the questions. We'll whereas if it's, you know, in my property, there's no Mekayev. That's necessarily not necessarily the solution. Is that acceptable or not? You have the Shonos there? Where's it, Simon? That's the one in Simon Hay?
Yeah.
אבל אם רצה היה תליך לספטור שלו ואז הוא נחיץ לפטור שלו והוצא דחמה כיוון שמסלק הזיקריה מחבירו דיו.
Oh, that's a key line. He takes away the mechayev. Right? Go ahead. So Zen, is that like a separate taina? That's like the word we're asking here. So there is the circumstances that genders, you know, remedy. That's one question. Then there's the question of the quality of the remedy itself. And are these questions that, you know, just are like, oh, like, you know, I'm not going to keep, you know, digging into my pocket or taking you to court, you know, so you have to do it properly. That's just a, you know, dine mominis, a reasonable dine mominis, you know, kind of consideration. Or again, is it more like, you know, the sense of insecurity? It sounds like it's more the first, not the second, but it could have been the first. Right? Vinyurke perusha kama. Svanidu chachamim gvul v'kitzva l'mishiyesh l'osale kazeko. V'chiyasa davakayim l'dori doros. Of course, there's a you know a lot of distance between you know a permanent solution and just like a flimsy you know we're neutralizing the problem, right? So by elama speak mashem misalek ezeko mimenu lefisha, but as I say, it could be a happy medium. The imachars mind as he can be a shof tamaretz the otei mahakim the kitzas akerim and tiprots, right? Tiaser tuas chaver yitzork balakerim. Livnos gazis, elavade lo nidu chacham gvul lebinyan elamokum shitzias abinyan al shneim. Shiachal echad lomar lechaver, echad lomar yap shilasos maosayan parus lahotziotzos koyom. Okay. So all I'm saying is, there are pure dine mamonis considerations here, but there are also other factors. And one of the things it highlights is this relationship between, you know, neutralizing the problem per se and the quality of the solution. So what I'm saying is, the same thing may be true about being madiv, you know. There's no hezekriya problem, maybe, according to the Ravan, you know, if there's no madiv. So if you had a makkah and blocking, and you didn't have the odef, you know, it's very possible, according to the Ravan, you'd say, yeah, right, he can do, so he'll move over when he does his private things. But that's still different. You know, if you're, you know, obligated already to solve the problem, to remedy, you know, then the quality of the remedy. Again, in the case of the rush, we're talking about, you know, is psychological reliance, you know, how permanent or long-term solution it is, and some of the, you know, economic aspects. You know, in the case of the Ravan, we're talking about this question of miktsas or kula. But it could very well be a factor. Now, in the Mordechai, the other thing is that he has that shita that I mentioned. Who was reading Yitzhak? What is it? Sort of Tzemach Gon part? Is it Rav Tzemach Gon? Or I think he calls it. This very other radical shita, which I've been hinting at. About the Dalet Amos? Because again, the pashtus is, and this is what we have mentioned a couple of times, like, does it make any difference, you know, that, let's say, when you're opening up a, you know, a window, you know, or a door, you know, that you're not directly opening up into, if you're opening up, you know, directly into his property, so you're assaulting him, or assaulting his privacy, or invading his property by undercutting its, you know, whatever it is. But let's say, you know, two things are happening at the same time. You know, and the first step is beheta, or not beheta, but let's say the first step can be interpreted differently, or it's mostly mitzura, you know, to something that he's doing in his own property, or beheta. Does that ever make a difference? So in a way, this is all part of that bigger question. You know, does Hezekiah, you know, have background, context, but it's really, really all begins and all focuses on the re'iyah itself, right? Or is it about the living arrangements, you know, and the architectural, you know, decisions or initiatives, you know, that are made and that are taken? This goes in both directions, right? Both in terms of you know, what is the maisa, you know, the girei didei, you know, as well as what is the solution, right? There are two factors that are always at play, and we need to know the relationship between them. One is the actual overlooking itself, and the other is the, you know, the context in which that becomes, you know, possible. Like, everybody will agree, I think, that re'iya, you know, that inappropriate re'iya, lo sasuru, again, Narayas for sure, but that's the point that the Ramban makes and the Rama makes, right? Of course that's awesome, right? But, you know, what about being, you know, poseach pesach l'gabe pesach? And that's still different than being mesalek hezekiah, you know, which came about, you know, through no initiative, even architectural, etc. Anyways, so one of the things that I was saying was that the Gaonim are already troubled by this, and the Rishonim keep going out of their way to talk about it. And that is, most of them are saying that, you know, there doesn't make a difference, you know, if there's direct hezekiah in the sense of, you know, there's my property and the next guy's property, you know, or whether there's indirect, like, you know, let's say in theory, which is a rabbim in the middle, if not for the other aspect of it, of tzniusa. Or, you know, my window into my chatzer adjacent to your chatzer. Right? Or in the case of a chazaka, let's say, I have a chazaka, you know, or I have an arrangement or mechila, if it works, you know, Reuven and Shimon are good, but what about, you know, what that does, you know, to Levi, who lives 2 miles down, but, you know, is also in my sights? Those kind of questions. So I mentioned that the, you know, the Gaonim speak about it. Most of them say it doesn't make a difference. They're impressed with the Rishus HaRab and Gemaras, but you can be Mechalik, Rishus HaRab and the others. The Rimi Gash, you know, the others. The Mordechai here in the beginning starts with that. But then he quotes this other Shita. You have it?
Pirish Mori?
Yeah. It comes from the Tosefta.
Right, so Pirish Mori, Dod de Sagile Vidal Ramos, Haino Kishibonim Toch Shalo, Dal Ramos. Halo Kishibona Al Hametzar, so Shaya Hezekiria, Filabar Choka Tuba. Nitanya, Machalonis, Vignite, Dal Ramos, Shalo Yapil. Ya Filo Achi, Tarek Arba Amos, Lemalo Shalo Yat, Tvir. Fahi Masnis and Mari Vigona Al Hametzar, Dolo Sagile Bar Choka Dal Ramos. So there, sagile b'dal ramos kedesh shelo tei masisim ki yechida v'shelos tedaber tzamach.
Yeah, and what is the Rav Tzemach that he quotes early, based on the Tosefta? He starts off by saying, here, let's go back a little, Kori l'mafrei, a little bit. Im Rishus HaRabim v'chatzeros mafsikos.
Im Rishus HaRabim v'chatzeros mafsikos, tzafilu rachok yachol imcho tzalo mitam hezekiah, shari lo nistu shelo nabu bo hazal
shiur.
Ela kol makom shiish hezekiah ala mazik laharfik atzma. Vedam ish hashmimi, abu poseach u'bishus harabim pesach k'neged pesach. Da'am arle, sof sof kaboy setz dino ibn irshus harabim. So halav ha'chi kigon sha pesach u'malim yiramos, leka hezekiah ibn irshus harabim yachol imcho tzafilu irshus harabim mazik.
Even though, right.
Even though there's masik in between. There's quite a sanu. Ma'ani matzasi b'tosefta d'ramayer,
So that seems to be against this, correct?
That if there was something else in between.
And that's it. So then his solution is what?
Is to be Marachim Daladamus.
Whether something is built on the border or built inside your property. That's, of course, a remarkable... Like, does that make any sense?
Daladamus is not a lot of space.
Right. But the point is... So again, this is a very... It's a radical view. But it's a radical view which basically puts all the emphasis on the structural part. Right? They're saying, listen, you built this in your property. Again, you could argue, the view is based on the assumption that the psichas achalon, or the binyan dalas keneged dal, chalon keneged chalon, etc. That's the assault. Right? But, why is it an assault? Because of Hezekiah. But what is it? What's the Misa? What is the, it's that. So if it's Mitsura to a Dvar Heter, to something else, and it's only Agav, that there's a problem, again, probably there would still be an Iser Istaklos, one would think. But that's not where you have the Chiyuv, of, or the Iser, of the Binyan. This is very, this works very well with what, I'm not sure if it's also from Sembachim, it's hard to know. It's quoted in Tshuva Sagon, that other one, the one that the Ramah quotes, of Hezekiah being Mimela, and, the Ikar, Maisa, Isur, or Maisa Vera, or, Maisa, which is Makayev, the remedy, right, is the initial, binyan. So if that was Beheter, that was the other piece, if you remember. The other situation was there's a wall, right, which saves the other guy, and then he, he was Bona, and then the wall fell down, right? Here the situation, is even more Mechudash, that he built within his own property, and contiguous to that, within Dalet Amos, it's not on the border, and contiguous to that, in other words, the immediate, proximate, impact is himself, that's called Osa B'Toch Shalom. If he's on the border, then it's Mitzuref that he's building, something which is Mazik, or has the potential. Or it's a Shechinim thing itself. Shechinim is on the Meitzar. Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering about that second option. Maybe you could still say that it's not the opinion of the Riyah per se, but we do read a different context.
Of Shechinim.
Yeah. On the Meitzar.
Right. So I think either one of those is possible. Either it's a question of the Tziruf of the Pu'ula, or it's like, things you do on the border, good, what do they say, good fences, good neighbors, right? So there's something to that. So that's, on the fence, on the border. How you behave on the border, that's covered by different, rules and laws. Now again, if you're cholek with this, which almost everybody is, that doesn't mean that the yesod is completely wrong. You might just say, what you build, within Dalet Amos, maybe even what you built, when there was a kosel, Meirosh is perceived, not just predominantly, like who said there's a din of Ikar v'tafel, or it's mitzurif to this more than to that. It's an equal opportunity, impact, right? It's, you built it, of course it's contiguous to your property, or maybe it's, initial, maybe it's Rishus HaRabim, maybe it's 3 miles down, but, the issue isn't, again, if it's Maisa Hezekiah, none of this makes any sense. Because, as you say, that, you know, that's the line, Chazal Shior, Alamazik Laharch Katsasmo. That makes a lot of sense. But you might say the same thing is true even if it's, even if the Pa'ula isn't the Hezekriya, it's the Psichas HaChalon and so on. Right, so it's a Psichas HaChalon, but what does it threaten? Who says that there's a predominant one and a peripheral one? You know, the predominant one, you know, determines how you like. You could say that. What I'm saying is, the shitas that you know, zero in on. So in a way, what I'm trying to show is you have this, like, ongoing, interesting discussion about the relationship, you know, whether it's the, you know, creation of the problem, you know, in building or structuring or whatever, or it's in the solution, the remedy to the problem, right? To what extent is it all just, you know, defined by Ria, Lekula Lechumra, right? Or on the contrary, you know, it ends, because Ria is more amorphous, you know, it ends up being that the Maisa, the real Pu'ula, the concrete thing, you know, is what you did or what you're, or how you're remedying. You know, in which case those have their own standards, the Kula and the Chumra. But you can definitely see the patterns, you know, in some of these questions and issues, hopefully. Okay. So, in light of this, again, I'll just give one other example of it, part of Saitama, and then we'll start going straight. But a very interesting discussion in the Rush as well. Tovia. The Rush about is there a chazaka or not for Hezekriya? So the Rush has two days, but then he has a very interesting piece in the end, the one in Siman Beis. What's that? Oh, you could. Why not? Just get it on the record. So there's a case, again, we're trying to figure out, this is a massive argument in the Rishonim with a lot of pratim, as we've discussed, we still have to see more, right, about is there such a thing as establishing a chazaka for Hezekriya? There is for other Nizkei Shkenim or Achakas Nizakim. So what about Hezekriya? Is it fundamentally different? And if so, quantitatively, qualitatively? Right, we've touched on it already. Okay. So the Rush says there's no chazaka, first view. Okay, so the first answer of the Rosh, very interesting, right? Namely, I mean, there's no chazaka when they're equal, you know, offenders, right? The fact I'm silent because, you know, not because I don't care what you're doing to me, but because, you know, I'm doing it to you too, so you could turn around and sue me. So our silence isn't so much out of, you know, lack of kpeda or mechila, it's more about, you know, coexistence, right? Strategic, you know, coexistence, right? But in principle, according to the first view, we have to, you know, catalog all the Rishonim on this, in principle, there would be, you know, there could be a chazaka established for Hezekriya, okay? Especially if it's only one-sided, right? The irony is, here, because it's two-sided, as we said before, the more egregious, you know, a basis, you know, for chazaka, although the more egregious, you know, you could also wonder, you know, whether or not it isn't more like Isser rather than Mamon, you know, or Chabala rather than Nezek, in which case that would be a further reason that there shouldn't be a Chazaka. So it's kind of, you're walking a fine line. Here he's saying, listen, it's mutual destruction. Either we don't look at it destruction because we're both doing it, or it's mutual destruction. Either way, it doesn't establish Chazaka, but in theory, there could be. Right? Go ahead.
The low dummy high has it with Hezekah the followed. The Hassan Lab has it cutting. Shahalan Asr the Ora of Lowly Stock of the Hassa Havero, the Asr Lowly Stock of the Masa Havero can have been Gabigina.
Oh, he says Asr low. That's also important. Doesn't say it in the Gemara anywhere, but I guess you see that from the Gina case. That, well, again, the Gina case is. This is also very interesting because, right, this is the question. To what extent is the din of Gina, right, a separate din of Aina Bishav, you know, Tvua Bakama? Or is that really a paradigm, you know, for other things? That's, again, the Rabbi Yonah and the Rajma, which we mentioned, but we still have to be mafarid a little more, right? So here too. Go ahead. Right. So here again, he's going in terms of this dialectic. To you, what's he saying?
There's a difference between how often.
And again, these are important differences between chalon and chatzer. You see which directions, right? Chalon is, you know, is a manageable hezek ria. Therefore, it's nitan lechazak. Right, this one, you know, is, and again, that's a very fine line. This one is more like kutro besakise, okay, but not like the Ramban that it's worse or that it's chavala, but that it's, you know, it's a hezek gamur. There's no chazaka on hezek gamur. That's what he's saying, right? Yilkach tzarich l'saya, or all things being equal, l'saya bebin nakosa aval. That's key. It's not mufka legamri. It's just that you don't establish, you know, beumdana, you won't establish a chazaka. Go ahead. I mean, if they formalize their agreement, right, that would be a different story. Again, according to the Rajba, Chuvas Rajba, you know, according to the Rama, the Ramban, that's not so pashut either. Okay, well, we'll, you know, we'll flesh it out a little more. But you can see that there are different, because this dialectic of, you know, the more egregious, the more the shtika significant, but also the less, you know, likely we are to allow it. But let's say there's like a contractual thing. Contractual thing, you're not leaving anything to the umdana, to guessing, right? So that should work. Unless it's like, you know, in a mochel, like, you know, the Gemara says in Chavala, in a mochel v'rosh eivarin, you know. Okay, so here he says something very fascinating, that if you have that situation, afalpi. Oh, so what do you think about this? It is. In other words, what he's done, what the Rush has done, and other Rishonim don't necessarily agree with this, is that he's turned the Hezek Re'ia question away from Hezek, you know, and back to the remedy, or Mechila on the remedy. Right, the question is, why isn't this like, you know, Kras Ksusi? I say Kras Ksusi and then I'm Chozer. It can be Chozer. I'm Mochel, you can rip my, my shirt. And then I decide I am Makpid. I still own the shirt. So here too, all of a sudden, I decide I am machbid on the Re'iyah into my property. says the Rosh, the difference is in Kras Ksusi, I'm trying to be Matir the Maisa. But I was never Mochel, you know, Bailus, or on the Mamon of the Ksus. It's a very interesting distinction. Could have argued with it both ways. Say, oh, this is not worth anything to me. Right? But when it comes to Hezek Re'ia, again, it doesn't have to be that's the only story, but when I was Mochel, what, I was Mochel the Re'ia, or I was Mochel, you know, the economic outlay for the wall? Yeah.
Does everything there would be an Isser for the, still according to the Rosh, to be the Stakel?
I do think so. Yeah. But it wouldn't be action. Maybe that would be easy. That's a great question. It's not clear. I don't see why it wouldn't. But that's not where the...
Meaning there's never a mechila on the Hezek Re'ia. There's a mechila on the practical tikkun.
Correct. Correct. But this is, again, another example. You could argue with this by saying, again, this is the same question. Both in terms... And you could be mechalik, for sure. In terms of what engenders the problem, and in terms of what remedies the problem. Right? How separable are those two things from the actual Hezek Re'ia itself? Yeah.
Somebody explained the Russian way of explaining the Magash earlier, that there's this Hezek Re'ia is also this separate Hilchot Shchein.
Yeah, I always think about that also. Yeah. I mean, this might, but then you would say, I mean, this is just a din in the, but why isn't there also a din in Hezek? You know,
the Hilchot Shchein is to avoid the Isser aspect, but there's only one Hilchot Shchein, like one Shas Chiyuk, and once that's gone, what's it to be?
I mean, the Chalukas HaChotzer, you're saying, is like in a particular moment. Right. But what we were saying in the Rimigash, we were saying, was that, you know, you don't need Giri Didei, right, to explain, you know, the Binyan HaKosel Be'emson in Chalukas HaShulchan. Because maybe it isn't Giri Didei, but the whole, it's not a Din Mazik. It's just, like, what are your responsibilities? You know, when you, on your own, are, it's not Chalukas HaShulchan. And the question is, like, you know, why is it your responsibility more than his responsibility when it's one-sided and it's not, you know, so then we say that's when you need the Din of Giri Didei. That's who explaining the Rimigash. But here you're saying, it a little bit more. Here it's saying, because there's a din of Chalukas HaShotfim, which also, you know, creates a Chi of Mamon, you know, so that, you know, is all that it creates. Right. And even though there continues to be, you know, Hezek Re'ia, you know, but by solving or being Mochel, you know, the Shotfim, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's a little bit different. And the Rinnegash wasn't, so what we were saying for the Rimigash wasn't that the Chalukas HaShutfas is matir, you know, the Hezek Re'ia part. It's the other way. We're saying even if there was no Hezek Re'ia problem, you know, in terms of Giri Didei, there'd still be a din of Chalukas HaShutfas. But here what we're saying is it's not Krak Susi. Somehow the Hezek Re'ia going forward, you know, is not the problem once you've solved the economic problem of the Kosa. So I think it's an interesting parallel, what you're saying. But it's a little bit more mechudash. You know, say, oh, it all revolved around Chalukas HaShutfas, so it's not the regular, you know, what would you say in a case where, you know, it's just one person being mazed the other? Straight, with no. I mean, it's equal. I see it's already late. Okay, so we'll stop here. Well, I want to do tomorrow something on Yom Kippur, and then Tuesday I want to just start going straight so we can like establish that and start talking more about again, first the things that I gave to look at is the Chalukas HaShutfim correspondent to their, you know, portions, you know, the whole Yad Ramah, the Tur, the Gra, the Rosh Hashanah, right? I gave all that to look at. Nobody saw that? Okay. and then talk about, you know, Beishar. Beishar, of course, is, that's for, that first question is fascinating, because it definitely is relevant to the issues that we've been doing. Like, you know, does each level, person's effective level of protection, you know, does that figure in, you know, to their economic obligation in terms of outlay of the wall? Of the wall? That's a really crucial question. I also want to speak about Beit Shar a little bit. Beit Shar is a fascinating thing because they have to, you know, protect, you know, and the economic outlay comes not from the mazik, you know, but from the shkenim. Right, so that's also a very important question. And then I want to get into chatzer and gina and bika and bias, as well as, again, start really just putting together more comprehensively the, you know, chazaka question. And I may want to speak a little bit about privacy in other contexts too, like you know, walking into someone's house without knocking, just to outline at least where those other sugyas are. Collecting debts, you know, can you go inside the house, you know, to collect, you know, a mashkon, you know, those kind of issues, just to at least identify them. Not exactly hezekri, of course, but this idea that, you know, privacy, you know, is a value, you know, per se, and, you know, why that would be. So that, those are the things I want to try to speak about on Tuesday. Then we'll have a big break. But I want to start at least going straight if we can, so we can be more concrete in what we're doing. Okay.